Happy to welcome one of my heroes back to the show this afternoon. James Randi, the amazing Randi, our nation's top investigator of paranormal and pseudoscientific claims and other such garbage that, well, let's just say I'm very happy to see that he's back fighting flummery after a few months in recovery after a heart attack. The last time I saw him was in January in Las Vegas for the Amazing Meeting 4, and a fantastic get-together of people from all over the world who are part of the skeptical movement in this country, which Randi is one of the leaders of. And it was very sad to find out that a few days later he had developed some heart problems and had to undergo a bypass. And now here we are almost 4 months later, and I'm happy to welcome him back to the show. Hi, Randi.
Hey, good to be here.
How you doing?
Oh, well, you know, compared to most people I know, I'm doing okay. I'm making a steady recovery. It's slow. It's going to take me another couple of months before I can really look at myself in the mirror and recognize who I'm looking at. But it's getting there. I'm doing workouts 3 days a week, and it's slowly coming back.
Good, good. I'm glad you're getting your strength back enough to be able to talk a little bit this afternoon about some of the flummery you've been continuing to fight, and have you back out there in the vanguard of all of this is a good feeling for all of us who are big supporters of yours.
Well, there's a lot of flum out there, and it's got to be fought. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, has Sylvia Brown taken credit for your heart?
No, she, of course, she mentioned on her site something about it. Oh, that I should have listened to her, you know. It turns out that it had nothing to do with my ventricle at all. It's a totally different thing altogether, but she was in the right area, in the chest, anyway.
Yeah, by the way, predicting that a man in his 70s will have problems in his chest is really going on a limb, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what a daring attempt. You know, I mean, it was way out there, wasn't it?
Yeah. I want to just stick to Sylvia Brown for just a moment here, who's been kind of an arch enemy of the skeptical movement ever since she refused to. Well, she actually agreed to take the $1 million psychic challenge. It's been 5 years now, hasn't it, Randi?
5 years, a little more than 5 years. And it's one of those things where you figure you've got something in the bag. You know, she agreed on the Larry King Live show, which is seen internationally all over the globe. She agreed to take the test. And she said in so many words, yes, she would. As a matter of fact, on our webpage, we have a little clip on there, and you can tune right in and click on that, and you hear Sylvia Brown saying she'll do it. Then she said for some time after that she didn't know how to reach me. Now, here's a psychic. A psychic, Harris. Let's face it, she can't even pick up a phone book, you know, to find out how to reach me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on Google a couple of million times or whatever, but she couldn't figure out how to reach me. So I sent her registered mail and told her exactly where I was and how I could be reached. And
it's still crickets, right?
Yeah, still crickets.
Nothing, no response whatsoever.
No.
One more thing about her, and then I promise we'll get off her and move on to much more important things. She was on Montel again. Montel Williams, for some reason, continues to give her the platform of his nationally syndicated daytime talk show.
Hey, that's Ching Ching. That's the cash register in the background there, you know. That's what brings Montel his viewers, and he doesn't care one way or the other what she's doing. He must know. He's a smart enough guy to know the difference between flummery and the real thing, but he doesn't care.
Well, listen to this exchange between, now I don't have the audio of this, so I'm paraphrasing what happened on the show. A woman was on there, and of course, you know, Sylvia is one of these who claims to be able to talk to your deceased loved ones. A woman's on there, and she could see she's really emotional, and she says, I lost my boyfriend a few years ago, and they never found him, and I've been having a really hard time. And Sylvia says, and you've heard this before, well, the reason they never found him is because he's in water. And when someone's in water, it's very hard to find them. As you know, this is one of the claims that they often make. Either you're in water or near water, because anywhere in the world, you're not that far from water. It could be a backyard hose or anything. But listen to this. After Sylvia says the reason they never found him is because he's in water, the woman says, well, he died on 9/11. He was a firefighter in the World Trade Center. And they never found a piece of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, where's the water, Sylvia?
Yeah, there you go. Well, there's a fireman, water, you know, a hose. Putting out the
and then she actually says, are you sure he couldn't have been in water? And the woman at this point is a little PO'd, said, no, there was no water. And Sylvia says, well, he's telling me, like she's talking to him, well, he's telling me that his lungs are filled, that he can't breathe, and I'm seeing water because, you know, they were trying to put out the fire. Now, you see, at that point, Montel Williams should have said, get out! Get out of this studio right now! To Sylvia Brown.
Yeah, sure.
Ugh.
But he won't, because that's his meal ticket.
Yep, yep. Now, while we're on things that are just annoying to the core and heart-wrenching, I also want to ask you about this recent thing in Time magazine, which I know you've written about, and maybe my listeners don't know about it, about autistic children. Can you give us just a little background on that and fill us in on that?
A couple of weeks ago, Time magazine came up with an article, which was actually basically a very good article, but it started out with this premise that a thing called facilitated communication, or FC as we call it in the trade, was actually helping autistic children. Now, there are many different degrees of autism. Some are very mild, some are the very severe ones. And what they're claiming is that this facilitated communication is helping very severely autistic children. These are children who are not in touch with the world. In many cases that I saw them working with them, they were screaming at the top of their lungs and drooling and falling out off their chairs and whatnot and throwing themselves on the floor. I mean, literally out of control with no communication to the outside world.
They're called low-performing autistic, is that right?
I don't really know, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
There are different terms for it. However, the point is that these people say that they can get these children to communicate. What they do is they have a keyboard. It's a thing called a Canon communicator. It's a little electronic keyboard, very small. They sit this in front of the child, and the child is supposed to type out letters that reproduce on a strip of paper that comes out of the top of the machine. And it's like a ticker tape, sort of a strip of paper. And what they're doing is they're holding the child's hand, and the child's finger is coming down on the keys. Now, in most cases, the kids don't even look at the keyboard. In one case, the kid was on the floor, his arm was being held up above the top of the desk, and apparently the kid was typing out a message. And the kid is not even seeing where the keyboard is. The kid doesn't know what's going on. It's the facilitator who is doing the actual typing. This is a farce. It is such a dreadful farce, and yet Time magazine accepted this as if it were the real thing.
And what's really sick about it, as with so many of these cons, like what we were just talking about with Sylvia, is that it plays on people's emotions, because they'll have the kid type out things like, I love you, mommy.
Yep.
Well, what parent of a child who has problems, and parents of severely autistic children, you know, they are going through a rough time raising that child, and they're giving that kid all the love that they possibly can and just hoping for some sort of direct communication back from that child. And here they go to a place and they're told, this is your child's message to you, and it's, I love you, mommy. Which one of those moms or dads wouldn't die to hear that from their child? And here it's all a hoax, it's a scam, it's a con, and they're taking people's money for it, aren't they?
Right, exactly. And not only that, but the University of Syracuse is very much to blame for this whole thing. They're running courses there. They got a fellow named Bicklin, Douglas Bicklin, who's a professor there, and he has been pushing this thing for years, in spite of the fact that the American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association, all of these people have come out against it because they've examined it and they found it's a total farce. Now, when I first went to Madison, Wisconsin, to see this in vivo, so to speak, they wanted me out there for a different purpose altogether, but they wanted to show me how this process worked. Well, one woman, one of the facilitators, said to me, you know, this next little boy is really remarkable. And the boy is about 6 years of age, okay? And she said, this kid typed out for me yesterday, I need a new hypothalamus. And all I could ask her was, did he spell it correctly? And she says, yes, isn't that marvelous?
Oh, my goodness. Talking with James Randi from the James Randi Educational Foundation, online at randi.org, who spends far too much time uncovering these things that are just, you know, the sort of things that average people could see through, but unfortunately people who are caught up in it emotionally have these obstacles they have to overcome and end up getting conned. And we've talked many times about why we wish there were bunco squads still around who would go after these con artists, because that's exactly what they are. Are there university classes like that being taught, or not just research being done, but actually courses being taught in paranormal and pseudoscience?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yes. Now, not many universities offer high degrees in parapsychology, but they do offer the courses, and in graduate schools all over the world, and in schools that are held after hours at the universities, where a great deal of their money can come from, of course. They're just for interested people, older people in many cases. They offer these things. Well, they're all over the place.
A listener named John emailed me today, knowing that you were going to be on the show this afternoon, wanted me to ask you if you think that science and rational thought is under attack now more than it has always been. And I wrote back to him and I said, well, my viewpoint is that it's always been under attack and that we're just in yet another cycle of it. What are your thoughts?
That's about the same. I must say, I have the same attitude on it. It's just that the Internet and electronic marvels and such have allowed us to access many more of these people and much more of this garbage. The Internet is a great thing, and Google knows just about everything that can be known to mankind, of course. The point is, a lot of what's on there is not true, and you've got to be very careful of that. The carpetbaggers have moved in, and they're taking advantage of our desire for knowledge.
And I get lots of emails every day, as I'm sure you do, about this thing or the other thing. I often send them to Snopes, which is a wonderful website where they debunk a lot of the urban legends that are out there. And, of course, the forums on the JREF website are terrific as well. I also wanted to talk to you about something. I mentioned this to you when I had dinner with you in Fort Lauderdale a couple of years ago, and I get this on a regular basis also, and I don't even bother forwarding it to you anymore. You actually have been involved in the speaker cable scam, or at least uncovering it. A very good friend of mine named Rob, who is a high fidelity kind of guy. He likes to get the best equipment that's out there. He told me that he has spent thousands of dollars on speaker cables. Now, what do you know about this?
Speaker cables are just ordinary old wire. They can be, and my challenge has always been, now this is not a paranormal claim, you understand.
Right.
It's not paranormal, but if it were true what they're claiming about these things, that would be paranormal, that you can actually tell the difference between a regular piece of copper wire and something that costs like $2,000 for a 20-foot length of it, with arrows on it showing which way the current has to go, as if the wire knew. You know, it's got to be told which way. Make sure the electricity goes this way. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ridiculous things that are sold to hi-fi aficionados out there who should know better but don't. They're not very smart in many cases. It's unfortunate to have to say that, but it's just true. We've challenged these people. Do a double-blind test. It's a very simple thing to set up. You can't think of anything easier to set up. Just a simple test. One way or the other, you're either hearing this through ordinary zip cord that you use for your electrical appliances, I should say, or it's very hi-fi stuff. It's very sophisticated cable. Now, mind you, Paul, when you're putting a lot of power through cables like that, you need a substantially large piece of conductor, and it should be braided conductor. It should be flexible, so that there's no kinks in it and such. It helps a great deal. But for you to tell the difference with your ears, you could tell it with instruments in several cases, but not with your ears, not in any way.
Yeah, he's very upset with you because, well, you know, as many victims of a con are, they feel like, well, you ruined it for me by telling me the truth. And I just tell them, look, you know, you can handle this any way you want. But the fact of the matter is that you could have taken A and you chose B, and B was the wrong choice. Now you learned something and you got to go forward and deal with it from there.
Well, you know, of course, our $1 million prize that we offer at the James Randi Educational Foundation is available to this guy if he can tell the difference between these components.
Yeah. No, he can't. All right. A couple of other things I want to ask you about. What's the story with the TV station in San Francisco that changed its street address?
Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Here's a TV station in San Francisco that wasn't doing too well. They were part of a large conglomerate, but they weren't bringing much money into the group, and they decided they'd better do something about it. And one of them said, hey, I know a numerologist. So they the head of the station said, yeah, bring him in. Numerologist came in and said, oh, it's your address, which is something like 252. He says, no, that won't do. That's a very unlucky number. I think it was 1001 or something. I've forgotten what it was anyway. He says, that's a very unlucky number, so we'll make your address. Now, this is a street address, a four-digit street address, and he adds three more digits to the front of it, like 2521001. How are you going to get mail for one thing? They're going to be looking in the Atlantic Ocean. If you're on the East Coast, they're going to be looking in the Atlantic Ocean for you because there's no such street number. But they changed the number, and now they're saying things are much better. Well, we looked at the record. They're worse. They're worse. The parent company went something like $90 million into debt right after they got this thing.
The ratings for the TV station are down, and one of my favorite quotes from the story was, well, but morale around here is so much higher.
Oh, yeah, the feeling a lot better. As they get fired or laid off, they're saying, oh, gee, but I'm glad things are looking better.
As if you could fix it by just changing your street address.
Isn't that incredible?
Numerology. Unbelievable.
And it was approved by the management. That's the part that gets me.
Before I let you go, I got to ask you to take off your skeptical hat and put on your magician's hat for just a minute and give me your thoughts on David Blaine's recent stunt.
Never heard of him. Well, David's a nice guy. We used to be in touch, and every now and then I'd get a call from him if he felt he wanted a bit of advice or some wrinkle on one of the stunts, and I would, of course, give it to him. Then he changed to a new manager, and the new manager changed his email address and his telephone, so I have no way of getting in touch with him now. And it seems that the manager was a little bit worried. He used to be a manager for Alice Cooper years ago, so I knew him from that,
yeah.
And he knew me. And he said, I'm sure he said to him, oh, it'd be very dangerous for you to stay in touch with James Randi. He might talk you out of some of these things. Yeah, I just might. The stunt that David did in London at the Bank of the Thames there in this big plastic box was such a farce. It was cruel. He was starving himself while people in the city that he was displaying the thing on were starving at the same time. You've got poor people all over the world that don't think that this is a joke at all. They think it's pretty high-handed of them to do stuff like this. I think David is doing unwise things. And how many stunts can you do in your lifetime before it gets you?
You know, I think he's a pretty good magician. I mean, I don't know him on a professional basis like you do, whether or not he's a good magician, but just as a consumer, he's pretty good at doing magic, particularly TV magic. He's very, but now that he's become this bizarre stunt man, I'll stay underwater for a week and then try to hold my breath. Okay, fine, big deal.
What's going to be next? You're going to stick a pencil in his ear and keep it in his ear longer than anybody else?
And by the way, you mentioned Alice Cooper. Let me remind my listeners, you have a gold record from Alice Cooper for working on his, what was it, Welcome to the Nightmare tour?
No, that was Billion Dollar Babies.
Billion Dollar Babies. Randy set up some of the magic stunts, and the guillotine was yours, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was invented by another gentleman many, many years ago, but I resurrected the idea, and the marvelous thing about guillotine, Paul, that the head that goes into the basket is actually Cooper's head.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure. One other magical question. There was another primetime special on, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, with a guy by the name of Keith Barry, who I think is either from New Zealand or Australia, and pretty good primetime special. He had some pretty good effects on there. One of the things he did was blindfold driving. He had these models or pop stars who were in the car with him in the passenger seat, and he was driving down this mountain cliff road, you know, with twists and turns, and, ooh, I hope we don't fall into the ocean and that sort of thing. It was a darn good trick. But I'm sure that when people come for the million-dollar psychic challenge, you get a lot of those kind of claims from people who don't say they're doing magic but are really seeing through the blindfold, don't you?
Well, not too many of them, simply because they know what I'm talking about. And, you know, there's nothing like a guy who knows what you're doing to be afraid of. They don't come at, you know, that blindfold stunt, by the way, was developed by Washington Irving Bishop so many decades ago, I can't think. It is a very, very old stunt. He used to do it with a horse and carriage. You can imagine how old it is.
Wow.
I wouldn't be surprised it was done in Rome with a chariot. In any case, it's a damn good stunt. It works very well, and it's impressive.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go and go back to your recuperation and continue fighting flummery there, which you are so good at, and I'm so glad that you're still around to do it.
Well, listen, Bob, it's always good to hear your voice. You know that. And give me a call again very soon.
Absolutely.
As soon as you come up with any problems that you can't solve, Mr. Harris, I'll be happy to help you with
it. I appreciate that, Randy. Thanks very much.
Righto.
James Randi Educational Foundation in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You can find him online at randi.org. James Randi here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.